Well, it's going to be a pretty bittersweet afternoon, evening over in the UK, in England, in Scotland. England winning this afternoon. They go through. They win their group. Scotland, not necessarily going to happen. Looks like they're out. They are down 3-1. The game's basically over at this point. They needed a win outright. It was tied at the half. They scored late in the first half to tie it up. Place is going bananas over there in Glasgow. And yet that's the end of the road. So Scotland appears to be out.
Get I'm our concerned. Boy Caldwell on.
I'm concerned about him because I think he's the type of guy that, you know, would really take that to heart. And if anybody chirped him, like there's a fist fight in the parking lot. Like that's kind of how I feel.
Yeah, I don't think anyone will be chirping Caldwell around Studio 6.
Yeah, not around here.
I wouldn't suggest doing that. You're right, though. I mean, they listen, Scotland is what they are. They very rarely even make the Euros or the World Cup. The goal, we have the audio, I believe, Mullen, we can play it in a moment. The goal call is a spectacular goal, and it's a spectacular call. Callum McGregor scored late in the first half, but that was the first goal they had scored at a major international tournament, Euros or the World Cup, in 23 years.
Wow.
So that was their moment, right? Like, that is what people in Scotland and Scottish fans around the world are going to be talking about. Remember when McGregor scored and it was tied? Remember when you were in the Beatles? Like, that's basically was their big moment. Well, that was their tournament.
Went south for them.
It went south. And do you want to hear it? Because it was a great call. Like, the announcer sounded like he was basically Joe Bowen, and it was the Leafs playing at the Euros because it's an international call. He's supposed to be down the middle, but it sounded more like he was pro-Scotland, and this was the McGregor call late in the first half.
Hudson nearly fell for Adams, and he just couldn't get it out of his feet.
That's incredible, dude. How he let the crowd get in there, right? And Noodles, you know, because you do the games. But, to let the crowd get involved like that is just palpable. Yeah. How you can hear that through the
awesome
radio.
Awesome call.
Let it breathe.
Awesome.
That's the one. Like, when you can feel the energy of the crowd, let them become the story. Like,
they were going nuts, man. I was watching it live, and I was at Hampden Park, which I think they had like 25-30% capacity. It wasn't even packed. And see, do you hear how loud that was?
Dude, that was incredible.
Let's play it again because it's so cool. And he's like, "We have liftoff." Yeah. Like that's Joe Bowen calling. This guy's an international play-by-play. Like, if you're Croatian watching that, you're like, "I beg your pardon. We scored earlier. You were whispering when we got on the board." So this was on TSN earlier this afternoon when Scotland tied it late in the first half.
Hudson nearly fell for Adams, and he just couldn't get it out of his feet. They have liftoff!
Was that a brilliant?
No, he says they have liftoff.
I understand that, but right before they go to that, he goes like, "Brilliant!"
He might have. Like,
well,
you
know what?
That was McGregor's dad. He was so jacked for that guy's first international snipe.
It was awesome, though. You talk about, like, that is a great call. Great play-by-play. And we grew up with some of the best in the hockey world and that, but that's where the play-by-play guy has either the perfect comment and just lets it breathe.
And you need the crowd, right? Like, you have to have it. Their first goal on an international stage in 23 years. And even though it was 25-30% capacity, Hampden Park was popping. You could hear a pin drop late in the second half, though. Credit to Croatia. They're through. England's through. Hour two coming up. Habs Vegas tonight. The Jays are back in action. George Springer is back in the lineup. We'll update you on that. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, here we go. Overdrive off and running. TSN 1050 online. TSN1050.ca. Your TSN app. And, of course, on your home smart speaker. Brian Hazio, Doug, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. Team Hayes slash O-Dog feeling very good this afternoon.
Wow.
Very good this afternoon.
I've been excited. I've left you guys alone. I sent you guys that note this morning hoping that you guys were nice and toasty because I felt it was a bit chilly. Mm-hmm. But
I'll tell you what, Noodles, this guy, today he was my guy.
Really?
He had a 6 or 7 stretch of holes. And I was concerned. I'm like, all right, these are two of our buddies, both scratches, and we got our hands full here. And Hazy B, usually the guy in that situation, the worst golfer, you end up losing because he's just a dead weight, and he makes chops it around, and he can't come through where he's just got to make a par with a shot. This guy was Corey Pavin-like gritty on the course. And he had a 7 or 8 hole stretch where he was completely dialed in and completely in control of his golf ball.
Wow.
And then once again, I mean, they were kind of hanging on for dear life, these two. And we let them hang around. Wow. And on 17, we just crushed their spirit and shoved them in the rat hole that they belonged in.
Yeah,
you stuffed them in a garbage can.
That's it.
You mentioned Corey Pavin. Is that not Ray's doppelganger? Like, is it?
It is
identical
it is.
To Ray.
Like with a mustache, like that's Ray Ferraro.
Ray,
like,
when he was in Hartford, is Corey Pavin when he was on the Ryder Cup team in the '90s.
I'm sure somebody has told him that, but you mentioned it. I was like, because I was a little bit concerned going into today because it was radio silence on the text, and sometimes that's not good.
Yeah.
You know how it is?
It could have been.
And sometimes it's a side text saying, like, this is a disaster, or you know what I mean? Like,
no. There
was nothing. Like, both of you guys were feathers all day until we started talking late this afternoon. I'm like, oh, no. Like,
no,
I didn't even bring it up.
It was all good. The two of us played very, very well. I was very happy with the day. In general, it was a beautiful day out there. No bugs. Like I wrote to you, Noodles, you would have been right in your element. And
how did this transaction go down? Like
I chopped it around at the end, and I carted a 75.
Yeah, I shot an 85, and same kind of thing. Left some putts out there on the course, but that's a legitimate.
You had one.
You're laughing,
I'm going to tell you the changing moment of the match, and then I'm going to give you some advice and explain to you why you don't have the McDavid clutch gene. Okay?
Okay,
so here's the first part. The changing of momentum is Brando was on the back of 5 green, and he had a ridiculous downhill putt. It was 40 feet, and it's most people putt it right off the green, and he makes it, which leaves Hazy B to 2-putt, which is difficult for a 10 handicap to do, and he did it. And that was the changing. That was the biggest moment of the match because you kept us in it. But to further your golf game, here's what you have to do. And I know saying this, you don't have the McDavid clutch gene.
Well,
and
McDavid win 5 cups?
Yeah, I was just going to say.
No. This is what I'm talking about, getting the best out of your golf game. But I know you won't follow these steps. You already haven't listened to me in playing left-handed. But, like, go and see a professional and get all your golf clubs measured, hit balls, and get the lie and the loft adjusted. See if you have the right shafts. It probably cost you $250, but get your golf clubs exactly dialed in to where they should be. Flex, loft, lie, everything, but I know you won't do it.
That's not my problem. My issue is rolling
putts. Yeah, but how
do
you know that? You got to get your golf clubs properly fit if you're going to play.
They're perfect. They're set. I'll figure that out if I have to, but I'm telling you, dude, it was my putter that crushed me today. I would have shot a 80-81 if I rolled in some putts. How many 3-putts did I have today that were
too
pathetic?
Too many.
But it doesn't matter. No one cares about the small details, minor details. The fact is we won the match, and that's what matters, Noodles. And everything was all good, and we both contributed. I mean, I basically won a number of holes. You won a number of holes. It was pretty even, and it was pretty quality stuff.
I didn't realize that Brando's a good golfer.
Yeah, he's
a spectacular. He was not very good today based on his standards.
He was a filthy goat today. He was awful. I was embarrassed for my buddy because I was pumping his tires to my buddy and said, this guy's a stick. Watch this guy's golf swing. And he proceeded to slash and hack and whack. And then Donnie's looking at me behind the scenes like, what's this guy all about? And I'm like,
I've never seen
him.
Maybe he didn't get a pregame shower.
I think that was the issue. The facilities.
Rattled him.
He was not in his element today.
I'll tell you what, this guy, like, me and my wife get up early. This guy was in my shower in my condo for 40 minutes this morning.
Doing what?
I don't know, man.
40-minute shower.
He loves to just, it's a 40-minute procedure, and I just realized, like, how quiet and peaceful my household is, because it's obviously me and my wife and my two cats. But it's like the whistling into the shower, the 40-minute shower, the nonsense going into the – it was just the whole production.
A solo guy into an oasis, you've got yourself a problem. Like, it's just a bull in a china shop. You put a guy who's got his own routine, and he doesn't – he's there, and he's there for the night, and there for the morning, and he's prepping for a big event. He's looking forward to playing, and he's got a morning routine. It doesn't matter what you're looking for. It's just not going to be considered.
And he'll start messing with things. Like, I would imagine that your wife has, like, decorative, like, soaps and stuff, and he would use them. There's things that are supposed to not be used and stuff.
It was just the whole routine. He needs, like, the full shower experience. Like, I hardly shower at my own house. When I go to somebody, I'm not using their shower. I just put my gear on, and I'm out the door. See you later. This guy, full facilities. He needed it.
The full facilities.
You've been retired for how long, though? Like, where are you showering? That's the thing.
Where else do you go?
Like, I understand when
Jimmy
we played,
the Greek
we showered
the
at we showered at the rink. Like, but I haven't showered at TSN. Like, you know what I mean? Where
I
are you showering other than
showers.
Your house?
No. Can I get a chicken souvlaki and a shower, please? I'll be there in 20.
No, it's not playing days anymore. You got to dial the shower in. But
yeah, it's got to be dialed in.
I know what you mean. It's
got to be
funny
dialed in.
Anyway, you're right.
Corey Pavin, a.k.a. Ray Ferraro, will join us here in just a moment. And it's Habs Vegas tonight. I get the impression like Fleury's playing, but I don't know. I mean, of course, DeBoer, why would he make that announcement? It's only a major storyline that the whole world is interested in, the hockey world anyway. But they don't do that stuff. They're not forced to do it. I've been saying this forever. If I ran the league, you got to announce that. If you know who's playing, you announce it. Especially with what happened today.
Yeah, this
where
single
big
game
news,
betting.
Single game betting is coming to Canada. It's all over the States. This is going to explode in the sporting world. I'm telling you, there are going to be new rules on the horizon. Like, if the leagues are getting into bed with the casinos and with gambling, and you want to make sure you invest in that so that you can make the money back, you can't have Peter DeBoer saying, "You'll find out when puck drop." No, I won't. I'm putting money down tonight. Who's in net? But he doesn't have to do that right now. He doesn't have to. So, you know, he's not bending any rules, not breaking any rules. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's our hockey analyst, Ray Ferraro. Do you anticipate that, Ray, with the news out of Canada today? It's been going on in the States, you know, single game betting, gambling's exploding. These leagues are getting into bed with the casinos and gambling companies. It's just a matter of time before coaches have to announce their starter if they know who's starting in net?
I think it's going to be, there'll be a time in the day, let's pick 1 o'clock, I don't know, that lineup, maybe with one extra or two extra skaters, and your starting goalie will have to be announced. And I can hardly wait to see these old grumpy control freaks' heads blow up when they have to do it. I can hardly wait for these coaches that are like, come to warm up. Who cares? It doesn't matter, but it does matter for gambling. I honestly can't wait.
I agree. I just don't understand, and all three of you have prepared for the other goalie. There's two of them, and especially at the National Hockey League level, like, there's no secrets. Like, you know the pre-scout on Robin Leonard. You know the pre-scout on Marc-Andre Fleury. Like, Montreal's not changing their game plan going, you know what, now the Flower's in. We got to dump it to his glove side because he might choke one up on, like he did last game. Like,
How many shooters, like, other than Mary, like, I'm sorry. It's just so stupid. Like, you're just shooting the puck.
Like, oh, when you got the puck, like, somebody gives you the pass and you're, like, 30 feet out. You got a chance. When did you have time to go, oh yeah, low blocker, over the pad, over under the, you get it, and you just feel where the shot goes.
That's it.
Right?
A couple breakaways where you have time. If a guy in the locker room says this guy sucks five hole, you might want to try five hole if you have time to think about it. But I had a lot of one-time shot. I didn't even know where the hell it was going. It's just like, try to shoot this on net as hard as you can.
Get it on there. Try and get it quickly to somewhere where the goalie's not. Man, with all due respect to Chris Terreri, who had a fine NHL career, he was Marty Brodeur's backup for 100 years. And we never changed anything about our game plan unless Chris was in net. And then we went, you know what, he handles the puck okay, but he's not Brodeur, and there was no trapezoid then. So we'd talk about how to dump it into the corner or dump it into Marty's backhand side. But now it's Terreri, so you didn't worry about it. That took about 35 seconds.
Right.
It's not a, it's a control thing. I don't know if these coaches even believe it or if it's something they've always done before, but I can hardly wait for these old-timers to have to tell us the goaltenders. But I shouldn't say old-timers because it's most coaches. They love the power of, oh, come out for warm-up.
You're right, because I even think Sheldon did it sometimes, too.
Yeah, Keith will do that. Yep.
Right.
Oh, it doesn't matter your age.
Young, progressive coach. You're right. Like, I don't know. I just – nowadays, there's so much scouting. There's so much tendencies known. And in the other way, like Robin Leonard going, yeah, like – I kind of liked Caulfield's, like, tongue-in-cheek coming back at him today. I don't know if you guys saw that or heard that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, good. Like, he's like, all right, well, then maybe I'll look for somewhere else. Because believe me, this kid's going to get another look somewhere. And it'd be interesting to see. Now, I don't know if he'll be shooting on Leonard or if he's shooting on Fleury.
Well, who do you think's going in? I mean,
who would you put in, Ray?
Being completely wrong for game four, I'm willing to bet that I'm wrong for game five, but I would come back with Leonard. Like, why would I change? He played terrific in game four. Which probably means that it'll be Fleury.
Yeah, I see it the same way. I'd go with Leonard, and I'd ride Leonard, but who knows? I mean, they have been flip-flopping. We had Peter DeBoer on before the playoffs, remember? And we basically asked him tongue-in-cheek. We're like, do you just flip a coin at who's going? And he's like, yeah, more or less, you know, in some ways. Yeah. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. But I'm
okay, hey, one more thing about the gambling thing. There is no sport that it's more important to know the starter in goal or quarterback or whatever than baseball. You get to the World Series, you get the pitching rotation a week in advance.
That's right.
Like a left-hander means that's a completely different lineup you might dress. A right-handed here, you flip guys in the order. That matters. The goalie does not matter. It doesn't matter.
Well, but it can in terms of what the line is. I mean, here's where, like, I keep thinking about the individual better, the hockey.
No,
thing.
I meant from the player. Right?
Yeah, no,
of
course.
I meant from the preparation.
Right. Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. But if you're the book, this is why eventually the NHL will change it, is because MGM will call them and say, hey, Gary, thanks for not letting us know, but some guy from the American Hockey League played last night. We took a bath because we had the line wrong because we didn't know he was starting. Because DeBoer said, watch the puck drop. Like, there's such a difference. You mentioned Terreri and Brodeur. Think about Terreri. The difference, or whatever his name is, the difference in the odds between those two guys in net. Like, it would be, it's a massive adjustment.
Yeah, sure. McLennan Kiprasov, McLennan Luongo, you name it.
The line's going to move.
It will, based on that player. Like, honestly,
Hayes,
it
what's
would.
The noodles factor? What's the noodles factor, Hazy, on a McLennan and a Kiprasov or a McLennan and a
If noodles is feeling it, if he's on fire, depends on if he's on a hot streak
if
or
I was
a cold
on a
streak.
Street,
just you don't know anything about what he did the night before, just straight up in net. What's the factor? What's the difference?
I think you're going from, you know, if you're at home, it's like, you know, you're probably minus 170 and it's going to flip to like a plus 210. Maybe
really? That big?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I'd have
fair.
To put more thought into
you,
that.
You know what? Because I'll segue this because the Islanders last night lost 8-0, and I was looking at it. Of course, they drag up stats, and it's like the last time they were drubbed that badly was in 1994. They lost 6-0 consecutively. I'm like, well, I'll put my hand up for one of those 6-0 losses. And Ray, you were on the bench for both of those games, too.
Yeah, I picked up my plus-minus took an absolute ass-kicking in those first two games. That's the series. Noodles always says They should have ended that series in three games. Just told them, just go home, guys. You're just not good enough.
Well, can the modern-day Islanders respond better than the 94 Islanders after that
That's
embarrassment
tough
last
after
night?
That one, man.
That was embarrassing.
Yeah, I think they can. I think they can and will, but I still think Tampa's the better team.
I don't disagree. I think, you know, it comes back whether you lose 8-0 or 1-0, you still lose. That has to be your mindset. I don't know if that team's fragile. They don't seem like a fragile team. Like, they seem like a team that's going to play the same way. I think they were just out to lunch last night. Like, that wasn't the Islanders' tight system. That wasn't their competitive nature. You know, they just, and Tampa deserves a lot of credit.
Tampa was
just
flying
unbelievable
early.
Last night. That's as good as I've seen them play.
That's scary.
Okay, here's the one goal that Yanni Gourde scored. I think it made it 2-0. Like, Pagio's got the puck 8 feet from the blue line. That guy doesn't make mistakes like he did. Right. Like, he just fogged out for a second. He's still carrying it. He's got to get rid of it. He doesn't. Gourde steals the puck. Now he comes back, banks it in off of Green. Like, I'd be willing to bet that play's not happening again. Like, Pagio's not making that. And then we've all played in games like that. Once it starts crappy, it's like a snowstorm or an avalanche. It's like you can't stop it. It's like another one. Man, it's like the happiest guys, Varlamov, when they get him out of the net.
Like, yeah, once it was 3-4-0, but he almost might as well had to be 8-0.
He almost had to go back in when Samsonov or whatever got Sorokin slap shot in the face, like in the side of the neck there. Like, they were going to put him back in. I was like, oh my God.
The
like,
ultimate when you get walk pulled, of shame. You
when
put
you
him
get
back
pulled
in.
To go back in, oh, it's the worst feeling in the world because you're done.
Jerry Cheevers is one of the great storytellers of all time. He was telling us a story about they were in Chicago Stadium and Eddie Johnson was in net. Bobby Hull took a slap shot and the puck hit Johnson flat on top of the head and went way up into the stand. And Cheesy goes, you know who was first off the bench? And everyone's like, the trainer's like, no, me. Telling him to get up because I wasn't going back into the net.
I liked that kid stayed in the net because he had all the you know, the free reign to just say, oh, I'm dizzy. I don't know what, but he said, you know what? I'm not doing that to Varlamov, and he stayed in there. Yeah, I give that I kid agree. Where these guys are leaving right. and not playing, and I don't know what the hell's wrong with them, but he had the jam to stay in there. I like that a lot. That kid earned my respect.
I love it.
There you
I
go.
Agree.
A little mic drop comment.
I agree.
Right there.
Yeah. No, listen, it was ugly for the Islanders, and they got to dust off and figure it out. And, you know, as for the Montreal-Vegas game tonight, my eyes are on the refs because my fear is that they're going to overcompensate tonight.
Yeah, good call.
And just call it. Like, I could see multiple minors early in the game, set the
tone. Dude, you saw it last night. That Barzal play was barely a two-minute penalty, and the guy faked and flopped on the ice, and all of a sudden it's a five-minute major. He had one hand on his stick. That wasn't a five-minute major, but it's overcompensation for the garbage that happened the night before. It's exactly what that
this
was.
First scrum, two guys go out. Second scrum, two guys go out. Like, yeah. There's going to be no – you're not going to get any extra shoves around tonight, I wouldn't think. If they do, the officials are completely out to lunch. Take a couple guys. Like, be in the game early so the players know you're in the game, so your first penalty call isn't that hook on Suzuki.
Yeah. Mm.
Like
I
in game four. Like, be in the game. Announce your presence, right? Like, just let yourself be known to the players that, okay, it's going to be a little different. And then you've at least set some kind of presence and standard to the game. Because otherwise, it's a guess-a-thon, and the league's not coming out looking very good right now.
Who's doing the game at Sutherland? I thought I saw it was Sutherland was one of them. He's a pretty good ref. Like, not that Chris Lee and Dan O'Rourke aren't good refs. They just, I think they had a tough little stretch there. And then obviously the microscope is all over them. And instead of, you know, doubling down and, you know, and being, having a little better game, it was like they took a step back that game four there.
Yeah. You know, Do we know where Wes McCauley is? He's
no.
He's the best.
I wonder if he's because he, isn't he known as, like, their top ref, their
usually
number one
cup
guy?
Final, right? I think he's done it the last couple of years.
Well,
I mean, no idea. I haven't heard anything on him. I haven't seen his name pop up or anything along those
lines. Yeah, I mean, I read a couple of people wondering about it, and I was like, oh yeah, you're right. He hasn't been there.
I don't know. I'm looking at scouting the refs right now. It's Sutherland and Eric Furlatt, which are both veteran guys, and you know, I think.
Well, you hope it's the best of the best. I mean, you're into the Final Four here. There's two games, you know, two series, and I think it'll be a different game tonight in terms of officiating, and both teams are going to have to adapt to that. And Montreal, you know, their formula had been working for a long time. Last game was the first time it got cracked, where they scored first and it barely got away from them. McNabb right. with a CNI shot gets through, and Vegas holds on and wins in overtime. But I think if you're, it's not Dominic Ducharme, but Luke Richardson and company, you're just, what are you changing? Like, do you expect a different game plan going into Vegas, Ray, or just what has been working for the past 11 games?
No, I don't think there's anything to change. Sometimes you just don't win. I thought they carried much of the play the other night. Like, it didn't seem like they were, you know, about ready to fall apart. They controlled possession, they controlled shots, they had better chances, and then McNabb squeaks one through and they're in overtime. Right? Like, I thought they've played so well. I don't know what needs to change for. I mean, I guess it would be nice to get some offense from a couple guys that have gone quiet, but that happens probably every playoff series to every team. They've played well, man. It'll be a bigger challenge doing it in Vegas again, right? You got to go win there a second time, and that's always going to be harder for sure.
Well, and you mentioned it though, like it's the same with the guys from Vegas. Like their top players haven't hit the board either. Like I think the games have been so tight. I almost think tonight might be what happened last night one way or the other. Like, you know, one of the goalies is out. But Carey Price hasn't had really an off night. You know, maybe if, like, he's going to have to face a big storm tonight. And, you know, Montreal has to play at that formula. But, you know, we haven't seen Stone, Marchessault.
That's what I'm waiting for, those Vegas forwards, man. That Carlson line in general has been invisible.
Yeah.
Like, they have done nothing.
Don't steamroll anybody. Before, like, they would just get momentum and just run over you. They haven't even come close to that.
And conversely, the other way, like, Gallagher been quiet, like mm-hmm. you know, guys like that, like and Richardson came out the other day and said, like, I expect that he's going to have a big game. One of these guys, he's kind of around it, but he's not. You know, he hasn't right. found the back of the net. Like, I think one team might be able to break through tonight.
Well, don't forget too. I guess we don't know for sure, but doesn't it sound like Stevenson's playing?
Yeah, game time decision. You think he's playing?
Game time. Yeah.
Right. Like that's. That's a big plus for those guys to get him back in the lineup. Like that shuffles around some people and, you know, gets, you know, the center that's been on their top line. Maybe that helps get Stone and Pacioretty a little bit of movement or a little bit of room, a little bit of juice back in their game too.
Well, it's going to be a fun one regardless. I mean, we're into the final stretch here. We got game 5 of this series. We're, you know, going back to New York for game 6 on the flip side, and it's almost a cup final. You know, we'll be there by the weekend. It's going to be a fun one. So enjoy it tonight, buddy, and we'll break it down tomorrow at 5.
Yeah, congrats on your draft history, Noodles. It's your anniversary.
Right.
I didn't realize that until O was always quote tweeting stuff like that now, so I did.
I said you should have went first overall.
No, I definitely should not have won that draft.
And some bozo from Edmonton goes, ahead of Eric Lindros and Pat Valuna. I'm like, yes. I just said, this guy's so stupid. It's just, yes.
Ahead of Falloon.
Yeah, or whatever.
So good.
Yeah. I think Niedermeyer went third.
Yeah.
He was pretty
yeah,
good.
Yeah, it's like he's like Noodle shouldn't have went before those guys. I'm like, thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Scoop.
Just stop it.
Maybe fourth. Fourth overall, fine. Yeah. We'll leave it there. You twisted our arm into fourth overall. Yeah. All right, buddy. We'll do it tomorrow at 5. He's gone.
Yeah.
Ray's like, you guys can go ahead and chat back and forth. I'm out of here. Ray on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They take away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lean history, and accident history. Find out more at MapleToyota.com. Scott Mitchell on the return of Springer and Manoah being suspended for 5 games. We'll get into that. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.
I kind of thought that we were going to get into a spicy type of refereeing, embellishing, over calling it from the nonsense the night before. Listen to the feedback I got from my hot take from you fine gentlemen. Not playing, and I don't know what the hell's wrong with them, but he had the jam to stay in there. I like that a lot. That kid earned my respect.
I love it.
There you
I
go.
Agree.
A little mic drop comment.
I'll be honest. I thought you were, like, not done. I thought you were, like, taking a breath and going
to
go on.
See, that's an attack on me because you're like, you should have had more to say.
No, I knew you were done. I just thought it was so emphatic. I'm like, all right, Sorokin in your good books. You know, I wasn't going to dance on it. I'm like, all right, good stuff. Moving on. Next topic. I mean, there's not much more you could say about that because I think you're right. It would have been easy to pull the pin and say, forget it. Varlamov, you go back in. And he stuck it out. It's a good sign.
I agree. Thanks. I thought he was fantastic, and I thought it was a great point. I also thought that I thought you were heading in a direction where if Ray was going to push back on you on the Barzell. Like, I was fine with the $5,000 fine. Like,
that was hardly a penalty, man. Put that thing in slow-mo zoom. After what we saw in Montreal the other night, egregious, ridiculous things. That was barely a cross-check, man. Somebody send us the viz of that in slow motion, and it's just, it's nothing. That's embellishment to the, and I like that kid as a player, but that was ridiculous.
Well, I guess my point is I was fine. If you're going to err on the side of caution, the game was getting stupid anyways.
Yeah, so give him a little pee-pee whack to say enough's enough. But it was not a five-minute major.
In my mind, there was no way that he was going to get suspended for the next game. I think it was a play where he got his stick up, and regardless if it was one hand or two, it got a little high. Whether it's two or five, I'm fine with the punishment. I'm fine with $5,000. The kid makes millions anyways. But I didn't want to see the kid lose a game for that based on what's going on. I thought it was the game within the game because John Cooper put his number one power play out. I think he cycled them through like three times in that 5-minute power play. He was like, the hell with you guys. You want to do this?
I'm going
to
bury you, man.
Bury you on the score sheet.
I'll tell you, Noodles, I don't know what Russians you played against, but I got Fedorov, Larionov, McGilney, Pavel Bure.
Yeah.
And they were different. The way they could move, the way they could handle the puck, the stuff they would do with that puck. Yeah. That 86 on Tampa,
is
every bit as good as any one of those guys that I saw or played against. And I don't think you almost have to be a trained professional like me and Noodles to watch this stuff. But the stuff that guy does with the puck, like the little spinny passes and one touch and no look back at, he is so good. He's almost underrated. He is amazing, man. I can't talk about that guy enough.
Kucherov, spectacular.
And oh, God, is that guy good.
Crazy part is he's, I think Braden Point is the story. Like, I think Braden, the Conn Smythe today if it's awarded?
It's Point. I mean, based on the fact that he scores every single game, that alone, like the records, that he's rewriting the record book, right? And what he did last night moved him past, like, Lemieux. I love how Mario's on it twice. Lemieux, two different times, had like eight games in a row with a goal in the playoffs. Yeah. It's incredible. But the names that are on that list are just spectacular. And he is the straw that stirs the drink. But it changes every night. Like, I could see tomorrow night it's Kucherov. And Hedman's going to have a night where everything goes through him. And then, if need be, Vasilevsky can be that guy. Stamkos is dancing, man. And Stamkos is fourth, fifth, sixth down the list. You look at a guy like Anthony Cirelli, who's an incredibly unassuming player, yet just goes up and down the ice, checks you into the ground, always makes the right play. And he's, what is he, the seventh best player on the team?
What's not a fun case study if you're a fan of the Maple Leafs, and I still think the Leafs can be good and do stuff, but
they're going to be good.
Brando pulled out the cap-friendly thing and went over Tampa last night, and he's like, oh, look at this guy. Look, Hedman makes 6.75 or 7.75, and he went on, and I was like, God, that's ridiculous. And then he said, oh, let me just pull up Toronto's here to go through theirs. And then you're seeing stuff that's not quite familiar. But that Tampa team, they're
No, like, they're on the brink of a dynasty. Is what they're on the brink of. Like, if they win again this year, which at this point they're clear cut favorite,
and they might lose Tyler Johnson and maybe another guy next year.
They want to lose Tyler Johnson.
Yes,
they want him gone.
They have to basically.
They basically have to, or buy him out or something.
Right,
because of the cap situation. I mean, Point is now a year away from a deal where he's not going to take another bridge. And if he does, it's going to be at like $10 million a year or something, $9.5 million, right, whatever it's going to be.
Yeah.
But they're on the brink of a dynasty. That's what Tampa is doing here. There's no reason to believe they won't be right back there next year. The cap is what might be their worst enemy. You know, it really might be their worst enemy, is that the salary cap could cut them down at the knees, but not to a point where they're going to miss the playoffs or something crazy like that.
No.
They're loaded. They are absolutely loaded. They're the best team in the league. They have been all year. Like, it's indisputable. They are the best team in the league. And I don't see anyone being anything but number two to start next season. That's what you're fighting for. Regardless of what happens this offseason, Tampa will be the best team in the league.
They've got everything. They've got the top-end talent. They got the best goaltender in the league, the best defenseman,
two
of the top forwards. And they got those intangibles. Clutch gene, we talk about it all the time. They got it all, man. They've got it all.
You're right. Like, it'll be interesting to see, just looking at their cap friendly, like, I know they're not big names, but like Coleman's unrestricted. Goudreau's unrestricted. Now they're going to have to replace them in-house. Like that Colton kid looks like he's going to be a really good player, Ross Colton. They'll be able to do that. Like, that's the thing, because Patty Maroon, does he re-sign for another year at 900? Because the guy likes Tampa. He seems to be a good fit here on the fourth line. Like, they'll find that. If you lose Tyler Johnson, that'll give them some pressure, but Blake Coleman's a hell of a player, and I would argue that there's teams that'll be sniffing around that, going, if we can afford to bring him in, he might be a piece that's farther down in our lineup in that top nine that we need. Like, I'd love to see Blake Coleman play for the Leafs.
Yeah,
because you don't have to be big.
Like,
the one thing I keep thinking about with Toronto, and they tried it last year, and you're going to reload and go right back at it. You have to have, regardless of the size, you have to have competitive players. Like, Simmons was competitive. Spezza's competitive. Foligno's competitive. Like, Jumbo Joe. You got to retool with those type of players. Now, they have to be on the cheap, technically, because of, financial restraints up top. But that's what you need to be doing to round out your bottom, let's call it six.
And you need competitive plus capable.
Yes.
Equals
success. Obviously.
I mean, that's the issue. Jumbo, incredibly.
Yeah, he's 41.
Couldn't play. Simmons, after he broke his wrist or his hand, he was never the same player.
He had a tough time.
He just wasn't the same player. Foligno was playing at like 65%.
Right.
Like, he didn't make the impact. So it's more you're right. I mean, competitive is a big part of it, but plus capabilities equals success when it's further down your lineup.
You're right. I just, I know I harp on this guy, like a guy like Engvall. I don't think, but I if you're big and you don't score, like, you have to have something else. That's what the difference is. Mikheyev, like, you got to bring something else to the table.
You have to, but this is, again, where it's the chicken or the egg in a way, because you put Engvall on the fourth line in Tampa, you're like, that guy's a good player. Why? Because Point scores every night. Kucherov's got 27 points.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? You're like, man, he played a good 12 minutes last night. Engvall sticks out more when Matthews is invisible and Marner's invisible, and you're like, this guy's not doing anything either.
That's
what I mean? Like, it's,
you're right.
I don't disagree with your assessment of his play. I'm with you. I mean, he's a 4A player. He's somewhere between the American Hockey League and the NHL. I don't know if he should be on the team. I don't know if he will in the future. But when Marner is invisible and brings nothing,
you start pecking away at the carcass.
Looking at the other
guys. Yeah,
and you're
right.
Wow, Engvall really didn't do anything either. So it can go both ways, I think, to an extent. But there's a big one going on tonight in terms of the Jays. George Springer's back. He's going to hit fifth tonight. And I like the way that they've approached this, because according to him, he and Montoyo spoke, and Springer said, listen, the 1 through 4 are batting, they're hitting. Let's keep it that way. I don't need to ruffle feathers right now. And I like that. That's a veteran. That's a guy who realizes good things are happening without him. He wants to be a part of the program. He knows where he's going to get in the end. Veteran room. Move. Hit me fifth. And I think the bigger story is he's playing center field tonight. He's not coming back to DH. He's going to center field.
Yeah.
So Scott Mitchell's coming up. his take on what we can expect out of Springer. And Alec Manoah has been suspended for 5 games. With the day off, it's probably not going to mean an actual start will be missed. They'll move some things around. But Montoyo is an automatic suspension, so Charlie's not in action tonight. So Montoyo will not be in the dugout this evening. We'll get into that more with Scott. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, cannot confirm or deny what we'll get to in about 20 minutes. I can't confirm Mackenzie Hughes is playing at the Travelers this week, and he will join us at 6:30. And some big news on the Canadian golf front. Mackenzie Hughes and Corey Connors are going to represent Canada at the Olympic Games in Tokyo. So that's really quality news. Probably the two best Canadian players going right now. And they'll be in Tokyo. So we'll catch up with Mackenzie in about 45 minutes. But we've been waiting a long time. 44 games have passed without George Springer. He is back, and he's hitting fifth tonight. That is the expectation. Well, the lineup's out. He is hitting fifth. But more importantly, I think he's playing center field. He's making a debut in center tonight. And to chat about it, we're joined now by our Jays reporter, Scott Mitchell. His bat will be there at some point. I think we believe he'll get to the top of the order at some point. But him playing center field is rather significant. What do you make of the move, and what do you make of Rowdy Tellez and Jonathan Davis being options so that he can join the lineup?
Yeah, I mean, starting with Springer, it's almost like he's 100% this time. He can actually play defense, and that's the key here. I mean, anyone that watched the last time he returned knew he wasn't 100% right from the jump. And, you know, it took a lot longer than this organization, than George Springer, than really anyone involved thought it would. But, you know, I think everyone's confident that they're finally at the point that he's going to be able to stay on the field. And yeah, you said it. I mean, you know, I think people have forgotten just because of how kind of winding this road has been, you know, what an impact bat this guy is and what an impact player he can be on defense, too. And we've seen the outfield have some issues. And Randall Grichuk's been fine in center field. But when you slide Randall Grichuk over to a corner, especially late in a game, your outfield defense becomes much, much better. And yeah, I mean, I totally expect this guy to be up at the top of the lineup at some point. And this is just a case of, you know, you don't mess with what isn't broken. And, you know, talking to George and talking to Charlie Montoyo today, you know, they talked to all the guys and that top of that lineup's going well. That's not the problem with this team. And, you know, Sammy and Bo, Vladdy and Teoscar have kind of been that core of this offense. So they just didn't want to mess with it. They'll allow him to kind of get his feet wet a little bit. And, you know, any signs of this lineup scuffling, it's not going to take much, and he'll be back up in that leadoff spot.
That's what I was wondering. Is it like, okay, I'll be the good guy here. I'll be the team guy, signed a big contract. But one game, as soon as this goes a little sideways, I'm batting leadoff and don't even think twice about it? Or is he just kind of happy-go-lucky, just put me in there, I want to compete and help the team?
Yeah, look, he's doing what all four of us wouldn't do. We'd all want to hit leadoff right coming back, right? I think that's our personalities. But, you know, George wants to he wants to be a team guy, and he knows he's still the kind of the new guy in that clubhouse. And yeah, it's just that offense has been so good, and I don't think he's going to be the one saying anything. But look, if this offense goes 2-3 games, scoring a couple runs, and Montoyo is going to make that move pretty quick and put number four back in that leadoff spot.
Scotty, I kind of hate it when, like, I know what happens from now until the finish line, the end of the season pressers, and it's going to be, well, you look at our offense, it's as good as it gets. We're as good as any team in the league. But we got to add, like, that's just where we're trending, isn't it? Where they're going to get to the end of the season. They're going to fall short because of the arms that are not there. And they're going to say, our offense is as good as anybody's. So we need to address that situation. I just kind of, it's just anticlimactic for me when I know what's at the end. I know how the story goes and how it ends here.
Yeah, I mean, you're envisioning my future and a ton of interviews, you know, asking about how they're going to improve the pitching staff and a ton of conversations about, you know, hypotheticals about how you go and do that. And look, I mean, I hate to be the Debbie Downer who says, you know, be patient and wait, but I fully believe this team is a year away. And I'm not saying that it's not going to be an exciting 4 months here to the end. And there's a lot of markers with this ball club that, you know, say they're a lot better than the 35-35 record that they've got right now. But pitching is the hardest thing to find. It's the hardest thing to sort out. It's, you know, the hardest thing to predict, especially when you're talking about bullpen. So Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And, you know, I think these 18 games from tonight to the All-Star break are very important 18 games, not only to, you know, kind of convince this front office, because I think this front office knows that there's something to this team, that if you can fix this pitching staff, maybe you can go on a run. But, you know, 18 games is an important stretch with the way this team has played. And if they play really well going into that All-Star break, it's going to make things a whole lot easier in terms of maybe rentals rather than just baseball trades, trying to trade for guys that, you know, have a little bit of control. You can do that really at any point. But if you're talking big time rentals that are going to cost you a whole lot of prospect capital, which could happen, if you're talking about a guy like Max Scherzer or somebody like that, you want to see this team playing well. You want to see them in position, and you don't want to see them 5 or 6 games under 500, even though you know that this could be a better team than the record shows. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. And pitching, you know, from the rotation down is still needs to be fixed. I don't think it's just this bullpen. I think when you look at, you know, some of the ways this rotation could go from here on out, I'm not totally sold that, you know, you're going to have that consistent rotation with the names that are there for the next 4 months. So, you know, I'm curious to see the way it's going to go. But, yeah, I mean, that's what we're going to be talking about. And it's the same thing we've talked about since they were ousted by the Rays last October.
With Scott Mitchell, Jays reporter. So Alek Manoah is a part of that rotation. He has been suspended 5 games after he was ejected over the course of the weekend. And he's appealing that, so he'll likely still pitch in his startup coming this weekend against Baltimore. But Charlie Montoyo gets an automatic 1-game suspension, so he will not be in the dugout tonight. And Ross Atkins gave him a boost of confidence over the weekend with the most Ross Atkins quote of all time, that he's exceptionally encouraged. Not just encouraged, exceptionally encouraged by Charlie Montoyo. Charlie's taking a lot of heat. You know, all of a sudden there's a target on his back. There's, you know, a lot of big voices in this town yelling and screaming about Montoyo and his general disposition. Is he fiery enough? What do you make of the commentary from Atkins, and are you buying it? And what do you make of Montoyo about a third of the way through the season?
Yeah, I'm buying it from Atkins. I mean, look, I don't think there's as much heat as some people think. I mean, you know, your bullpen implodes, and the only thing that, you know, fans and social media can blame is the manager, the guy pulling the strings. But, you know, I think this is more of a social media storm than anything that the Blue Jays are thinking about at this point. And look, I mean, we can all talk about Charlie's demeanor and the way he says they're having fun when they're losing 5-6 games in a row. And, you know, I don't agree with the messaging. I'm not a big fan of it. But, you know, I think all that matters is the respect in that clubhouse. And, you know, I haven't heard that, you know, anybody cares about what he says in a press conference. You know, I think that's one of the reasons that, you know, he got that contract extension, or sorry, that he had his option year picked up, is the Blue Jays front office and Atkins, they really like what he does in terms of having that steady hand behind the scenes. And, you know, it's been a weird year and a half. I mean, I haven't been able to really, really see that. Not that you're there at the important moments as media, but, you know, I really, truly believe he does have that clubhouse. And, you know, the bullpen just needs to pitch better. And I think that's a whole host of things. But, I mean, if you want to look at this suspension for Manoah and Montoyo, it's a half glass full. Hey, at least somebody gets to pull the strings on that bullpen tonight a little differently. And really, this is just going to be an extra day of rest for Manoah whenever he does lose that appeal, I would assume. So really, nothing to see here. And I think Manoah is a guy that, you know, needs to be talked about a little more, because he has been, you know, decent at times, up and down. The home run balls hurt him, and that's one of the reasons I'm not so sure that, you know, the rotation won't be the biggest need by the time we get to July 30th.
Well, we'll see what happens. Enjoy this 2-game span down in Miami and Baltimore upcoming this weekend. We'll do it again soon. Thank you, Scotty.
All right, fellas, anytime. Take care.
Scott Mitchell, our Jays reporter. Chicken strips on the mound tonight.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. He's sauced up.
Hayes, can you do me a favor? If he strikes a guy out to end an inning, can you tweet the picture of the chicken strips falling to the ground?
Yeah, the GIF that I'll fire that up tonight. Yes,
I love that. If he ends an inning with a strikeout, yeah, I want to see the strips.
Will be flying tonight. Yeah. You can bank on it. Monitor my Twitter account. It's happening. Final hour up next. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.